Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right. It's the good, the bad, and the dumb on your Tuesday. Boy, that was a lot to dissect from sports last night. Tons and tons. But was any of them good? Let's get the good of the day.
You know, this was, I think it was like a subtle drop, but I'm kind of excited for this. And I'm not one that, I haven't really watched one of these in a while. But this one I might have to tune into. And that was the announcement that the Dolphins are going to be this year's in-season Hard Knocks.
Oh, okay. I might watch that. Yeah. I didn't watch it when it was Arizona last year. I didn't watch it when it was Indianapolis like the year before.
Right. And I didn't watch the Jets this preseason.
Yeah.
But I don't know, something about it being the Dolphins, I mean, it's like, okay, this is an actually good team. It's going to go to the playoffs. I'm kind of curious.
I think you're right.
And what's his name? Mike McDaniels. Kind of a funny guy.
Yes, a really funny guy. He's really good, like, at, you know, kind of the subtle humor. I like him. I like him a lot. Yeah, I might do that. So
I mean, you know, I'm sure it's going to be all the same shtick, but, you know, there's no cutting of players, right?
No. So, no, they can let a guy go. I mean, if he, you know, you see that a lot. Guy was released, you know, but not major players. But you probably won't see that. It's probably more like in-game preparation. I don't know. I've never seen an in-season Hard Knock, so I'm just kind of speaking out of
unfamiliar territory. The other thing. But, I mean, if there was one team. I mean, obviously, there's a couple of teams that would be very interesting, but I think this is one of them that's like, all right, you know, this team is winning. They're definitely going to go to the playoffs. I can't see them not going to the playoffs. You know, this, I could be interested in it.
Yeah, I could too.
Besides that, so, I mean, if we don't watch it, we're going to get cliff notes from Philip.
Yeah, very true. Very true. But, yeah, these are commitments. I find myself making less and less television commitments.
I do too. What is that? And
I don't know what it is, but like, I mean, I grew up in a time where you just simply did not miss the show you wanted to watch. You just didn't miss it.
Yeah.
Like, there was if you watched, this would be like if you were older, like if you watched Dallas, right, every night, right, you just didn't miss Dallas. Like, you didn't plan anything around it. You didn't go, oh, sorry, we had plans with Sam and Joanne. You just didn't miss Dallas. Like, that's just not, that was, but this was on later at night and whatnot. But I feel like now I'm like, I start a series and I watch like the first two episodes and then I don't watch it for a long time. And then I try to play catch up like on a lazy like Saturday or something.
That's where I am with Ahsoka. My kids and, you know, everyone that really wanted to watch Ahsoka is like, oh my God, they're going to bring back the Star
Explain
Wars
Ahsoka.
Clone Wars. Ahsoka was Anakin's Padawan.
Oh, okay.
And so, and she
Star
ended
Wars.
Star Wars. And she ended up leaving the Jedi before becoming a full master Jedi. But she knows all the tricks and the trades. And I think the way I'm gathering it, kind of became like almost like a good bounty hunter type of thing.
Oh, like, my goodness.
Like she goes and like helps out people.
Okay, so anyway, you were watching it and you stopped
But
watching.
We watched two episodes, but then you see all these things like, oh my God, you got to see this. And I can't get myself around to it. Like, I'm in Halloween stuff.
No, I don't, I mean, this is a busy time of the year anyway, but I just don't watch series anymore. But like, I tried watching Hard Knocks. I watched the first, I think, three episodes and I loved it with Aaron Rodgers and Liev Schreiber. And then I got distracted and I didn't catch it. And then I missed it. And the next thing I didn't watch the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I think it was only a couple of episodes anyway, but I did not finish it.
And you know what the problem is too? I don't seem bothered by it.
No, I don't.
I mean, you know, I remember missing shows like back in the day. It's like, oh, I got to catch up. This is annoying. And you really wanted to.
It's such a wild world. It's really a wild world of someday I'm interested in how the social pattern has changed, because if you grew up in the early 80s, okay, who shot JR was the most important question going on in America during the summer of that year. I think it was 81. And everybody was buzzing about who shot JR. This was the cliffhanger. This was in May. And everybody had theories. And everyone was buzzing about theories. But you could go into a room and four or five people knew exactly what you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If you sat in a room and went, I think it was Bob. People would go, yeah, I had Bob too. I think Bob, like it was, you could start an instant conversation without asking the question, do you watch Dallas? Right? You didn't have to go, hey, you guys watch Dallas? Everybody was watching Dallas. The same thing with the top rated shows in the country, right? Now, that is not a conversation starter. Now you have to ask people if they're watching it, and then you have to watch if they've caught up to where you are in order to have a conversation about a show. And it's such a different way of using entertainment as sort of a social break, like a break the ice kind of thing, where we don't have that anymore. People are on their own time. I could go to school on a Friday and talk about Cheers with my friends. Now you couldn't do that today unless they were as caught up as you were in television. And it's changed everything. This is why sports is so important. You guys want to know why they're paying this enormous amount of money for media rights? Because of what I just said. Last night, I watched double screen Monday Night Football and Game 7 between Texas and Houston. I watched double screen. I wanted to watch both of them at the same time. I did not want to tape one for later. I wasn't going to catch up with sports. I wanted to watch both of them in real time. It's the thing people want to watch in real time. Everybody else, everything else is, I'll watch it when I watch it. I'll watch it down the road. I'll watch it later. I'll binge watch five episodes of that. And everyone's on their own schedule. So you're not, and sports is the one thing left that we're all sharing in real time. Well, we used to share real television shows. You know, MASH, the last episode of MASH was watched by one in every three Americans. Forget television watching, man. One in every three people at that time watched the last episode of MASH. Now, I don't even know what TV is on. I don't even know what network TVs are on now.
True.
So it's a whole nother world. So Miami Dolphins, in-game Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
I will try to catch it.
That could be exciting.
Every time I go to my HBO Max app on my TV, it reminds me that I still got 6 minutes left on this Hard Knocks episode from August. And I go, nah. All right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is, people are kind of up in arms about fans leaving the games early.
Yeah, this has been going on forever.
And so, people were highlighting, the Phillies only lost 5-1, but fans were just sick of it and just took off.
That's being hard.
Yeah, because Philly fan touts themselves as being the number one fan of the country.
I get 11-3 or 11-4.
I was going to bring that up, is that there is a difference, right? The Astros stadium was pretty much emptied out in the seventh inning. let's be honest. Yeah. Seventh inning, everyone was just like, oh, I'm going home. It's a game seven. They are just, at that point, I think it was 11-2. Or maybe even 10-2. It doesn't really matter. And the Astros couldn't do anything. I think at that point you can realize, it's just not their night. They're not heading out. I'm going home. And sure. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Phillies, though, 5-1.
No, you can stick around for that one.
That's relatively close, yeah.
If you're a diehard fan base,
I think you stick around.
You can get a rally, and you can knock a couple out of the park.
Here's the other thing, true. It's not like it was a late game.
Right, no, it was the early game. It started, I think, at 5 o'clock.
So you don't have that excuse that I want to just beat traffic, because if you left now, you're going to be in worse traffic.
Right, and I think there's a lot of reasons. It's like people who live in cities, like you in Houston, and people who live in cities that go, if I leave my house at this time, I get to the office at this time. But if I leave 5 minutes later,
all the time,
it's half an hour later on the other end. Right.
Yep.
It's the same thing in games. It's like, if I leave in the eighth inning, I can get home at this time. But if I stay till the ninth, it's going to take another hour. Add an hour to the arrive time. When I was a kid, we used to go to Fenway Park. My father used to always leave it to the end of the seventh inning every game, like clockwork, no matter what the score was. Because my father, we lived a good an hour and a half easy.
Yeah.
Easy away from Fenway Park. So when we got tickets on a July night and he was going to take me and my brother down there, he had to work the next morning and we were not going to stay in Boston until 11:30 traffic back to New Hampshire.
See, my problem is you know, I don't ever want to be that car in the it's ingrained in my mind, the 88 World Series when Kirk Gibson hit the home run.
Right.
And you see the car's taillights.
Yeah, right, right, yeah.
You don't. I don't want to be that guy.
You don't want to be that guy, yeah. You don't want to be that guy.
And so that's why, I mean, for me, 5-1, that, you know, I don't.
5-1 is
you can't
risky.
Leave. You can't
that's,
leave.
That's very risky. You were really pushing it. I mean, it ended up being 5-1, so you got safe. Yeah. But that's a little. But no, I would have stuck around a 5-1.
10-2, 11-2, yeah, I'm out.
I could have. I would have. Yeah, even if it was frustrating that they weren't scoring, I would have stayed for 5-1. Because yeah. I you never know with that team. You never know. I will have the dumb coming up next. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb. We also are going to be talking some Michigan football with their controversy later on in this hour. Angelique, you know what? You gave me the pronunciation earlier, and I failed miserably.
Yeah, now we enter the dumb of the day. No.
Yes, it's Angelique.
I already forgot, too. I'll have to figure it out.
She's from the Detroit News,
yeah,
and she's going to help us talk about Michigan football and what, if anything, is going to happen to them.
Nothing.
On this send somebody to a game, bought his own ticket, and scouted opponents. Well, not only bought his own ticket, he bought his own ticket on both sides of the field.
Yeah.
So he could sit and watch the sign ceiling.
Well, and the other thing, there's a new thing added to it. I haven't researched it as much, but I was trying to think like, oh, you know, do I put this in the good, the bad, the dumb? But there's, I guess, some internet sleuths or student sleuths on the campus. I'm not sure which one it was.
Sure, why not? Why not?
Uncovered his Venmo activity.
Oh, did they really?
And it was like Venmoing T-shirts and stuff like that to people, or people were Venmoing him for sure. I don't know. I don't know too much about the Venmo. That's why I don't want to really get into it. But there seems to be now a Venmo controversy surrounding him.
Real quick, before we get to the dumb, one of the problems that you have in these situations is because everyone is really, really passionate about their team, right? Like, everyone loves their college. Everybody loves their university. So whenever one of the rival universities or a team in the conference is in trouble, people want the death penalty. Like, people get so riled up.
Yes.
That makes it worse because they're not looking through it. It's like, you know, if a player sacks your quarterback in the wrong way, he should be ejected. But if your guy does it, it's a good football play, right? It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
So everyone's looking at Harbaugh and they're like, he should be banned for life. For what? For what?
Right.
What are we doing? Everybody slow down. So we'll get to that
story.
For
sending a non-sanctioned scout to scout a team, Tony.
Exactly. To get a non-sanctioned scout to scout a team, Harbaugh should never coach college football again, ever.
This bothers me, right? Because aren't they able to get film now of every single game out there?
Like yes, this? Yes. Well, what they're saying is that they're getting the signs, right? That he's learning the signs, and that's kind of difficult to do because you're not getting the sideline shot.
Well, I mean, I guess just go through the transcripts, and if he mentions anything about Ace of Base.
Right, right. But the problem is you have dummy signals. I mean, everybody is preparing to have their signs stolen.
Don't they change them all the time, too?
There's like a whole – some teams have a whole placard that when they put up the placard, the quarterback is looking for one thing on the placard.
Yeah.
And if he sees one thing, he knows that this is useless. This placard means nothing.
Yeah, Chip, remember that thing Chip Kelly used to do? I haven't really seen too many teams do that, but when he would hold up, you're talking about that, like when you hold up four pictures?
Yeah, you'd hold up something, whether it was pictures or something, you'd hold it up, and then the quarterback would look and say, oh, I see this, that means nothing. This is a worthless play, this is a trick. Go with the play that we have right now. It's the same kind of thing. Like, everybody's prepared for that. And now it's crime of the century because Michigan's good and nobody likes Harbaugh.
But aren't all quarterbacks now helmets mic'd up?
Pretty much,
with audio devices.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not Division II, but I would assume like Michigan. You know, I would assume the schools in the Big Ten would have the quarterbacks would be able to hear the coordinators and the coaches.
So, I think it's a lot of it too is on you know, defensively too. They can see like they're going to run. This is what this means, but you don't know what you're getting. So I think it's I think it's a complete utter nothing burger, but.
Maybe
in
not
in the world of college football. Maybe, not.
Maybe Angelique knows more.
Wouldn't that be wild? As I say that, like tomorrow they announce Harbaugh suspended for the rest of the season and Michigan can't go to the playoff.
Canned.
I'm like, whoa! All right, slow down, everybody. All right, what is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is singer, songwriter, and probably soon to be captain of the Kansas City Chiefs. You heard it here first. Taylor Swift's Eras Tour movie. How true. All the other movies this past weekend, including the new release of Killers of the Flower Moon. This is their second weekend. Okay. Here's my thing, right? I understand the Taylor Swift phenomenon, and I understand how big the Eras Tour was. I still can't really wrap my head around the fact that going to see the movie can generate this much money in its second weekend. Not the first weekend. I understand the first weekend. But in its second weekend, it outdrew all the other movies.
Okay, so I have a question about this because again, this is not a movie with a beginning, middle, and an end.
It's a concert.
This is a concert.
Yes.
So, given that, are people like, "I'll go see it again"? It's a concert. I love her music. I want to go with my buddies. I'll go with my girlfriends again. I'll go see it one more time. Is it a different experience than, you know, I sat through 2.5 hours of that. I really am not going to sit through 2.5 hours of that movie again. It was a good movie, but I'm not going to pay to go see it again. But the Eras Tour, people be like, "Yeah, I'll see it again. It was awesome. I love her music. I'll go see it." It's like people who follow like the Grateful Dead around. Like, I want to see her again and again and again and again.
Maybe.
Is that?
I mean, that's the most logical thing I've heard so far.
Yeah.
Because for
me, has there been like Killers of the Flower Moon, a movie I saw yesterday? It's kind of a deep movie. It's not like not a take my date to a movie thing. So is it just that there's not really any good stuff out?
I mean, maybe that's it. I mean, you know, on the top five list, I'm looking at Box Office Mojo, right? Which is IMDb's thing where it tallies all the money. Nightmare Before Christmas was the fifth rated movie.
Yeah, that was the 30th anniversary of that, right?
Yeah, re-released, So that came in fifth. So, I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe it's just not enough good movies out right now. And they were like, yeah, you know what? Eras Tour again. But, I mean, by more than $10 million, Tony.
Yeah. But I would rather my daughter go to the Eras Tour again than do something else. So if I'd rather give her money to go see Taylor Swift.
Well, yeah, I guess you're not going to send her to go see The Exorcist.
Yeah, right. You know, but that's my only thought is that it's a different experience than an actual movie. And you'd want to see it again, maybe another one, whatnot. But, I went to go see Killers of the Flower Moon yesterday, and they were like all of this Taylor Swift stuff that they do in the promotional section of the theater.
Is
I was
really?
Like, oh, I can't escape this woman. She's on my football screen. She's in my theater. I can't leave.
I'm really shocked. Like, okay, she's going to all the games, and she obviously, Andy Reid wants her to go to all the games.
Right.
How come we haven't had a Taylor Swift Gracie Hunt photo yet?
That seems more realistic to me. I asked this question yesterday and I got a little bit of heat from it. I said to my wife, I said, okay, at what point, because here's what I'm seeing, right? So I'm watching the Chiefs and I see the shot of Taylor Swift in the box and she's cheering Travis Kelce, right?
Of course.
She's high-fiving Donna Kelce. She's high-fiving Brittany Mahomes.
She created a dance with Brittany Mahomes.
She's all dancing. She's all loving it. And I said to my wife yesterday, I said, when is that woman going to wake up and go, I'm Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
What am I doing here? What am I doing here like a wag?
Yes.
Wives and girlfriends. Why am I hanging out with Brittany Mahomes, who I have nothing in common with other than we're attached to two football players on the field?
And they're pretty good.
Like,
and they do commercials together, and they're best buds.
That's I wouldn't even go that deep. Like, you're adding too much. All she's got to do is go, the only reason I'm high-fiving this girl is because her husband throws a ball to my boyfriend.
Yep.
I'm Taylor Swift. I can't go to Antarctica without getting mobbed by penguins. I'm so famous. What am I doing here in this box with these people? I'm high-fiving his mother? I'm Taylor Swift. Like there's going to be a moment where she's like, I'm not a fly around the country to watch my boyfriend play football type of gal. Like, this is cute now, but it ain't going to be cute down the road. But then my wife said, maybe that's the life she's always craved.
Well, maybe.
And I'm like, whatever.
But that leads me to another point. I don't know if we talked about this on air or off air, but remember the movie Wedding Crashers? Is she a stage five clinger?
Right. That's very, that's right? Another
we,
one. Yeah.
We always looked at the fact like, oh, she, you know, she's had a string of bad luck with some celebrity boyfriends, right? They broke her heart. Maybe they were right.
They might be right.
You know, and she, yeah, and she's the one who's the, I mean, we all, you got to assume she's the issue, right? I mean, you can't have that many bad breakups and keep pointing the fingers at other people.
That's what you start wondering, right? You start going, oh, God, okay, this is really cool. In the very beginning, it's always awesome. And then down the road, it's like, I think it's a little too much.
And the truth of the matter is we never paid attention because we didn't care. But now she's in our world, and we're like, wow, you are really showing up to every single one of his games, aren't you?
Yeah, you really are going to all of these things.
Kansas City, I get. The Jets, I get. You know, but you went to Minnesota. Or did she? I don't remember.
I don't
Who cares?
But, my thing is that eventually doesn't, like, if my wife, like my wife said, this may be what she wants. Maybe like all of the fame and all of the attention and all of the, I can't even go to the, get a, you know, I can't even get a Big Mac without losing, everyone losing their mind. Maybe she's like, you know what? When I'm in that booth and I'm just cheering my boyfriend on, it's something I just wish I always had.
It's
and
normal.
I can't have it. All right. Maybe. But man, her and Brittany Mahomes, she's like, we're on the same page. We're on the same level. She's not on the same level as Brittany Mahomes. It's crazy. So, that's just my little rant. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call.